Would you all join me for a word of prayer? Oh, Lord, thank you so much that we can come into the church today to praise and honor you and just celebrate in joy. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. It is higher than the mountains, is stronger than the power of the grave, and is constant in trial and change. We know that your love never fails and never gives up on us. Lord, it just brings us such great joy to know these truths, that you, the great designer of the universe, the Almighty One, the creator of all, great and small, you are timeless, you are unchanging, you are all-wise, you are all-knowing, you are all-powerful. You are the one that is called the beginning and the end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the everlasting God. And yet also, Lord, you are our shepherd. You are our strength and our song. You are our comforter, our provider, our protector and deliverer. We praise you, for you are the bread of life. You are the living water and the vine. When we come to you, we are given rest, true rest and healing. How good it is to be in your presence to praise and honor you. How good it is to come to your table of communion later to reflect on your sacrifice. Lord, that you have given us such amazing grace that you did not spare even your own son and sent him to carry the cross for our sins. It is amazing that you love each of us so much that you would give up your son rather than have us separated from you. What amazing grace that our stains and brokenness are all washed away like the rain. You have redeemed us and bought us back and saved us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for every single sacred life here today. We thank you for the church and the community. We thank you for your presence in us and among us. Lord, we lift up any of those who are heavy-hearted with any pain, any of those who are weary or burdened, any of those who are tired. Lord, we know the scriptures tell us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And sometimes it's easy for some of us, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it may even seem impossible due to our circumstances. However, the Lord, we know that your scriptures and the Holy Spirit can teach us otherwise. And we ask that you would please reveal these truths to us. Please give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the faith to trust. Lord, sometimes we confess that we just in our business, we forget about you. We lack the joy because we don't put you first. We forget to remain in you. You are the vine, and we just, you know, have not come before you to hear your scriptures and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. Forgive us, Lord, for depending on our own strength and not seeing past our own circumstances. Forgive us for not turning to you, the all-powerful one who loves us so much and so tenderly like a son or a daughter. God, we know that you love us and you don't make mistakes. You have your perfect timing for everything. You know our every need and thought. And Lord, we need you. How we need you. Every hour we need you. Lord, thank you for your promises, like in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Lord, we look forward to those things. Lord, help us now as we sit at your feet to hear more of your voice. Help us to draw closer to you and to be in your presence. How we want to worship and adore you, to love you and learn to love others in the way you've taught us. We want to experience the joy of living in the very center of your will. Lord, give us that joy and pleasure as we come and worship you in spirit and song, and teach us as we open our hearts to what you want us to hear and help us to apply them. We thank you and praise you and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, this summer we have been going through the series about formed into Christ. And if you could turn with me in your scriptures to John 15, 1 through 11. We are on our last final sermon about it, and it's about joy. So John 15, 1 through 11. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
That is a great video. Trust me, it is a great video if we could see it. There were two kids there. One was Josephine, who is cute as a button. You saw her. And then this boy joins in. His name is Clarence. And it was taken on our last trip to Liberia in the spring. And it's just great to see these kids sing these songs. And if you grew up in the church, you'll recognize that song, right? The joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And as kids, we sing a lot of songs about joy. We sang one this morning, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We sing songs like "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, or "This is the day," if you remember that one. We sing a lot about joy as kids. Maybe we should sing more as adults about joy. But what's amazing to me is when I go to Liberia and I'm around the Liberians, they seem to all be joyful. And you just have to go to one church service to realize this. And you that have been to Liberia know this. They dance around the aisles and all that. It's pretty fun. But there's this refrain that expresses their joy. It's, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And what strikes me is people living in extreme poverty have a lightness and joyfulness to life that many of us living in extreme comfort may never realize. Why is that? Well, joy, that's our topic for today. Today was Family Fun Day, so we thought joy would be a great topic to talk about today. We are going to have a lot of joy eating food and fellowship and fun in the parking lot while we dunk Brian Morgan in the dunk tank. I think there's going to be an ALS challenge as well by the elders, so you might want to stop by. This is also, as Sharon said, our last week in our summer series. And that's our outline, all the topics that we have been going through this summer. We began with by God and in love, into a new creation, through suffering and waiting, being formed into the image of Christ through those topics. And at the center of our summer was we were formed into the image of Christ by word and by prayer. And hopefully that's the center of our lives as well. And then moving out, the end of the summer, we've talked through how being formed into Christ affects our relationships, specifically through forgiving and through loving and through serving. And today we end with joy. We are formed into the image of Christ for joy. Now, the text I chose this morning is from the Gospel of John. It's what we read for our scripture reading. It's the vine and branches text. And for those of you who grew up in a church, that's a pretty familiar text. But did you know that text ends in joy? Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Well, what is joy? Seems to me like a little bit of a hard word to define. And it's not a common word. As I was preparing for this the last few weeks, I kept looking and listening for the word joy. I didn't see it in any of the movies. I didn't read it in a newspaper. And I didn't hear it on ESPN, which I watch a little bit. I didn't see it anywhere. But I did hear the word happiness a lot. Niners fans are happy because the new stadium is done. The iPhone 6 is coming out soon, right? Everyone's happy. I beat my wife in cribbage this week. I'm happy. Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. Is it the most joyful? Is happiness the same as joy? Well, I don't think so. Happiness and joy are related, but happiness does not go as deep as joy. Happiness is related to our word happenings. So happiness comes and goes according to our happenings, according to our circumstances. And you only have to think of that one scene in Mary Poppins. Remember Uncle Albert? The scene in Mary Poppins where the kids and Mary Poppins go in to Uncle Albert's house, and they walk in and Uncle Albert is flying. He's so happy he's flying. And eventually the kids and Mary Poppins and Bert end up flying with him, right? Because they're all so happy. But then the kids have to go and Uncle Albert gets sad. So what happens? He falls down to the floor and they try to make him happy again. Well, that's happiness. Happiness comes and goes according to our circumstances. Joy, on the other hand, goes much deeper, much wider, and much higher than happiness. Joy is not contingent on circumstances. How do I know that? Well, I'll give you two reasons. The first one is, if you remember way back at the beginning of Luke, in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus gives us a bunch of Beatitudes. And one of his Beatitudes is, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted." Thank you, Jesus. "Blessed are you." And then he follows it up with, "Rejoice and leap for joy when you are persecuted." Anybody leaping for joy out there? And well, the second thing is, in Philippians, Paul writes this book of Philippians, and he uses joy 23 times in four really short chapters. 23 times. And all the while, Paul is chained up to the imperial guard, chained in jail. And he's telling everyone how joyful he is, and he's exhorting everyone to be joyful as well. And he ends that book with that famous line, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So joy is not related to our circumstances. Joy transcends our circumstances. So what is joy? Well, I thought I would define it, and I'll give you a long definition, and then I'll give you a short one. The long one would be something like this: a settled state of contentment, gratitude, delight, and hope, knowing that God is in control. That could be a long definition for joy. But I think an even simpler one, and the one that I like, is joy is the emotion that says, I'm home. Yeah. Right? Dogs probably know it better than we do. Joy, that emotion that says, I'm home. That life-giving, life-filling sense of at-homeness. Yeah, this is where I belong. This is what I was made for. At-homeness. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Well, joy has a long and rich history in the people of God. As we trace this theme through the Old Testament, joy is consistently a characteristic of the people of God, both personally and corporately. There are many different aspects to it. Some of them are these. Joy is grounded in God. God is the giver of all good things. So joy comes from God. Joy is found in the word of the Lord and found in meditating on his word. Joy enables men to endure hard times. And joy has this end times feel, this eschatological feel to it. Ultimately, we have joy because of our salvation and peace in the Lord. Now, as we move to the New Testament, these aspects continue, with the chief aspect of joy in the New Testament being found in the saving work of Christ through the cross. Now, as we come to our text this morning, the vine and branches text, Jesus has gathered the disciples in the upper room. It's just before the Passion events, and he's going to have a meal with them in the upper room. And this is part, the vine and branches text is part of the upper room discourse. These are their final moments with Jesus, with his physical presence. And they are all enjoying probably a delicious meal. And during these festivities, Jesus shares with them his final teaching. And what he's doing is preparing them for life without his physical presence. Throughout this teaching, joy is a dominant theme. In chapter 16, Jesus will say he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to come, and the Paraclete will transform your sorrow into joy. Chapter 17, that's the high priestly prayer. It's a great chapter where he prays for his disciples, and he prays that they, all of his disciples, will know his joy. And here in chapter 15, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Well, what are these things? Well, it's from the text above that we read for our scripture reading, the vine and branch text. Things like, I am the vine, you are the branches. Things like, abide in me to bear much fruit. Things like, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, the Father will prune so that it does bear fruit and bear more fruit. By bearing fruit, the Father is glorified. By bearing fruit, you prove to be his disciples. Those are just some of these things. But fruit is in there a lot, right? It's funny, I talked to the junior hires last year, and I thought I would go out and buy a little vine to be an object lesson. So I go out, buy a little vine, and I took it upstairs to the junior hires. It was great because you can show them the vine, you can show them the branches, and of course it was small because it didn't have any fruit. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to go home, I'm going to plant it, I'm going to have grapes all summer, it'll be great. There's still no fruit. So maybe some of you can help me. But that's the whole point, right? The whole point of a vine is to bear fruit. In the same way, as branches in the vine of Christ, we are made to bear fruit. Jesus says at the end of his Sermon on the Mount that they will know us by our fruit. And one of the fruits we are made to bear is joy. We are formed into the image of Christ so that Jesus' joy may be in us and our joy may be full, so that we may bear the fruit of joy. But how do we bear this fruit? What are some keys to bearing the fruit of joy? I'm going to give you a few this morning from this text. The first one, the fruit of joy emerges as we abide in Jesus, as we remain, stay connected in Jesus. This word abide is a key word in the book of John. It means remain. As Charles read from the NIV this morning, the NIV translates it, remain. As we remain in the vine, or as we stay in the vine, this will produce joy. Well, what does that look like? What does this abiding look like? It's kind of hard to explain. But if I take my relationship with my wife as maybe an example, we've been married 16 years, and I found in these short 16 years that if we are not spending time together, talking with each other, listening to each other, playing cribbage together, connecting with each other on a daily basis, our relationship becomes unfruitful. We begin to have misunderstandings. We begin to get short with each other. We begin to get resentful towards each other. And before we know it, we are out of tune. We are out of sync. We are living in the same house, but we are not connected internally. Our hearts are out of sync. So after 16 years, what I've realized is that an abiding connection in our relationship requires not just quality of time together, but quantity as well. Time spent together, remaining and staying with each other. Our relationship with Jesus is very similar. Abiding with him requires continually connecting with him so that our hearts sync up with his. How do we connect with him? How do we sync up with him? Well, we just go back to the center of our series. The two primary ways is regular times in the Word and regular times of prayer. And not in some legalistic kind of way, but hopefully following the desires of your heart. Then our relationship will bear the fruit of joy. So it's a good question to ask us ourselves. Where are we abiding? Are we abiding in Jesus? Next, the fruit of joy is found in obedience to him. It's a great picture from King City a couple years ago. As Christ finds joy in obeying his Father, we find joy in obeying him and his commandments. Verses 12 and 13 in chapter 15, Jesus summarizes his commandments. He says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Joy is found in obedience to Jesus' command to love one another and give ourselves away in servant love. Now, unfortunately, in my life, I see the opposite too often. As I grow more self-centered, as I grow more selfish, I get less and less joyful. But when we move beyond ourselves to love and serve others, we grow more and more joyful. Jean Vanier says this. He says, "There is no greater joy than to love people abundantly and to participate in the creative, life-giving activity of God with a sense of divine life flowing through us." When we love and when we serve others, we take the life of God and we give it to others, and that produces joy. Next, the fruit of joy is found in authentic community. Here's a couple of our young adults roasting marshmallows. We were never designed to be lone rangers or lone branches. The problem with today's culture is that we've lost our sense of community. One writer says, we've never been so networked and yet so isolated at the same time. We are great at networking. We have lots and lots of Facebook friends. We're involved in lots of forums online, and we play games with a lot of people, at least the young people, play games with a lot of people. And then in the real world, we're members of groups, we're members to gyms, we are members of the PTA, we are coaches of teams, members of teams, so on. And these networks and these groups aren't bad in and of themselves, but they can never take the place of authentic community. What does authentic community look like? It looks something like this. It's usually small, usually intimate. Typically, they encourage active participation. They're not passive. They foster a giving mentality, not a getting mentality. They're face-to-face, a physical presence so people can be held accountable. And they are designed for deep, authentic, personal relationships, not designed for efficiency and growth. They are a gift from God and directed by the Holy Spirit. And in them we find joy. Alan Fadling says in his book, An Unhurried Life, true joy comes from being part of an extended community of men and women with whom I've shared a journey with Jesus, living out his life in our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and schools, and the church communities where God has planted us. The next one, the fruit of joy glorifies the Father. We honor God when we are joyful. We honor him because we are making known Jesus' joyful character in the world. And that brings glory to him. And you know what else? That's what will attract people to him. Joy is what attracted people to Jesus. Joy is what attracted people to the early church. And joy might be the ingredient that attracts people to him the most today. And it makes sense, right? If we claim to follow him and then we radiate his joy, it says something about him, right? It says that he's alive. And there's a lot of life and vitality in following him. And our joy, which is his joy, glorifies God. Well, lastly, we have to talk about those things that hinder our joy, those things that are obstacles to joy. These are the things that God is pruning out of our lives so that we can bear the fruit, bear more fruit of joy. The fact is, the Father wants fruit. So pruning is necessary. And it's painful. It's always painful. But the gardener is never so close to the branch as when he is pruning it. So through the pain, know that the Father is doing this to get stuff out of the way so that more fruit will grow. Now, I've just chosen a few that I found in my life. Maybe one or two will relate with you. Things that we need to get pruned out of our lives. Things like perfectionism and the need to control. They will hinder the fruit of joy. When we can learn to let things go, I know that's easier said than done, but if we can learn to let things go, our joy will increase. Things like materialism and our consumerist mindset, that they rob us of joy. Greed only leads to more greed, and we'll never get satisfied through things. And that will rob us of joy. Things like comparison to others and competition with others are obstacles to joy. If we are always trying to humiliate or critique or defeat others to make ourselves look good, we will lose joy. Things like always being frenzied, always being in a hurry hinders our joy. When people ask me how I'm doing and I answer, hey, I'm busy, which I answer a lot, I know that my joy is not full. To abide with Jesus, we must live at an abiding pace, which is his pace, a pace that he shows us in the Gospels, a pace full of prayer and full of downtime. You ever notice that in his life? He's always praying. He's always going away to be with his Father. And lastly, things like obsessing about our future. Trying to secure our future financially is going to rob us of joy. And this includes you high schoolers and college students. Obsessing about your grades is going to rob you of joy. You still got to do good. But obsessing about it will take away your joy. These are just some of the things. There are plenty others, but a few things to think about that must be pruned from us so that our joy will increase. Well, I have to close, and the question is, are you abiding in Jesus so that his joy is deep down in your heart? I started with that clip, well, it tried to play, of those few children in Liberia. And as many of you know, Liberia is struggling with the Ebola virus. It's pretty scary. And I know many of you have been prayer warriors for them. Robert Sunda, whose picture is up there, he's the director of Vision Trust in Liberia, and he was here last fall with his wife, Zikor, and you might have met them. He's one of the most joyful people I know. And a few weeks ago, Vision Trust interviewed him, and they shared this his interview on their blog. And I just want to read a few sentences from what he said. Robert first shared the grim realities of the situation. His home is close to the hospital that is caring for the sick. He shared about the number of dead he has seen carried out, and the reality of how it is closing everything down, much like the war did just a few years ago. He then shared the peace he has received from our prayers and how he can see God's God's hand at work to calm fears. He shared that the intense sunlight kills the virus, and in the midst of the rainy season, the sun is shining, and he feels God's power in the sun's rays. He sees how God is using this to strengthen his faith, and he is trusting God to give him the wisdom to lead and guide his team. Extraordinary. Here is a man who abides in Jesus. Karl Barth once described joy as a defiant nevertheless. A defiant nevertheless. I think that's how Robert would probably define joy. Life is hard. And the Ebola virus is awful. And death seems like it's everywhere. Nevertheless, God is in control. Nevertheless, God is bigger than this virus. And nevertheless, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Enjoy Family Fun Day today. You're dismissed.